Are you an entrepreneur on the move? EOTM Media Group has become the new voice for you. EOTM has the most outstanding public relations firm that will suit your needs as well as your budget. Thanks to EOTM Radio and staff, EOTM has climbed the ranks, reaching over 1 million listeners worldwide. Not only is EOTM Media Group mutually respected for its amazing quality, but also for their branding and marketing expertise. Everyone in the industry needs PR and marketing, so with that said, if you or someone you know needs PR or marketing solutions, contact Carla Barnes, Head of Marketing and Branding, at 213-290-3573, or visit her website at www.eotmmediagroup.com, or join her blog at www.eotmblog.com. What's that? You're interested in hearing a few live shows? Visit our radio page at www.eotmradio.com. Thanks for your time. This commercial is brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
Here, and you are tuned in to the eBuzz on EOTMradio.com and on iTunes.
eBuzz. Woo! I love eBuzz.
welcome back, y'all. Welcome back to the E-Buzz show with yours truly, Carla B. Hi, E. You know, you see me waving. Hi. Happy to be back here. It's been a minute, y'all. For all things EOTM, be sure to follow my tweets on Twitter. There's a little bit of background noise. I guess it's from our guys in San Diego for the Comic-Con. But definitely you want to follow my tweets on Twitter at EOTMPR. And if you are streaming live right now, go right now. Well, you're already there if you're streaming live via EOTMradio.com. Make sure to like us. Yes, like us there. And follow our links to all of our social media pages as well. And we follow back and we like back and all that good stuff. Our studio line, y'all, is open, so feel free to call in with your Comic-Con 2012 stories. 718-664-6543, 718-664-6543. And I'm just so geeked up and giddy as usual. But, y'all, tonight's edition, we'll call it All Things Comic-Con with Greg Reifstech, EOTM's movie maniac, who is live in San Diego, California right now. I'm going to wring his neck. I'm just so mad I'm not there. But he's live in San Diego, California for the Comic-Con festivities. And, oh, my God, it's going to be so exciting because we will be here for the next hour giving you the good, the bad, and the ugly of Comic-Con 2012. We have a really packed show for you tonight, wall-to-wall interviews, commentary, and a lot of stuff that is going down right now in San Diego at this Giganosaurus pop culture event. So y'all will hear from Sam Raimi, Mila Kunis, Michelle Williams, Morgan Spurlock, Tim Burton, and more, many more, y'all. So all of this coming up in the next hour. And if you are listening live and you're on Twitter and all that good stuff, tweet us at EOTMPR, at Movie Maniac, EOTM, with hashtag EOTM Radio and hashtag EOTMSDCC for San Diego Comic-Con, just in case you didn't know what that meant. Again, EOTMSDCC and hashtag EOTM Radio. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be speaking with the movie maniac himself, Greg Reifstech. Hold tight, y'all.
Movie geeks are cool. Movie buffs are hot. The movie maniacs, we're sexy. That's right. I, Greg Reifstech, the movie maniac, host of EOTM Radio's new movie show, I'm putting the sexy back into loving movies. We're not just going to review the movies on the Movie Maniac show. We're going to go behind the scenes and talk to the people that make the movies. We're going to talk to you about why you're obsessed with the movies you're obsessed with. You can catch my new show live at EOTMradio.com every Sunday night from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, starting July 22nd. Follow me on Twitter at Movie Maniac EOTM. Find me on Facebook at EOTM Movie Maniac. And of course, catch my posts on the EOTMblog.com.
Welcome back, y'all. That was the promo for the Movie Maniac show that's going down in a couple weeks or so. But right now, I want to go ahead and bring this crazy guy to the mic right now who's having so much fun in San Diego, Greg Reifstech, the Movie Maniac. You are live on my E-Bus show. What's good with you?
Hey, Kyla B., how you doing?
I'm just hating you right now.
Why is that?
Because, you know, you're just having so much fun. Okay, so yesterday I saw your blog post on EOTMblog.com, the pictures of just two of my favorite vampires ever, Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart. Are you freaking serious? And then you with, like, Mila Kunis. I'm just like, why didn't I make time to go to the Comic-Con with you? You should have just made me just come with you, Greg. I'm just mad. I'm just so mad right now.
I made Kristen and Robert try to get a pint of blood out of them for you, but they wouldn't give it to me.
Oh, so you're really going to get your neck rings when I see you when you get back to L.A. But anyway, I'm just joking. And for you guys that are listening, definitely you want to check out this crazy guy, the movie maniac, Greg Reifstag. Check out his blog post on EOTMblog.com. He has been covering all things Comic-Con 2012 in San Diego for the past, three or four days. So, definitely you want to check him out, check his blogs out, and then his Twitter and all that good stuff. So go ahead, Greg. Tell us, what do you have for us tonight?
Well, it's chaos down here, and, I mean, this Comic-Con, I used to go here 5 years ago, and there were only 75,000 people, and now you have 150,000 people squeezed into the San Diego Convention Center, and it's just, it's crazy. You have all different walks of life, all types of people that are into all types of different pop culture, movies, TV, you name it, and, it's just built and built and built. I mean, I remember when it was just the biggest star here was Angelina Jolie. Remember her?
Right.
She did, you know.
Yes, I remember
Tomb
her.
Raider.
What are you talking about?
No, I remember you. You remember she was in Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
And she was here to promote that, and the geeks were lined up in line to meet her and freaked her out. So now, instead of having these little rooms where you're, like, up close and personal, they have this big room called Hall H, and people wait up to 3 hours to get into this place. It's insane,
Carl,
I'm telling you.
Wow. That's exciting. But you're there, and there's so many great movies, and I know it used to be just, like, the comics, right? But now it's, like, everything, right?
Exactly. It used to just be comics. It started in, like, probably somebody's garage here or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it was like 50 people, 150 people, I think, showed up to the first Comic-Con here years and years and years ago. And now you have the entire city gets overtaken. Last night was the Expendables 2 party. Last night was the Hero Complex party. That's a comic magazine. I mean, celebrities all over the place. I was just walking through the lobby of the Hard Rock Hotel, and there's RZA just passing me by. I'm like, hey, yo. Yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah. You know what? Really quickly, Greg, you mentioned the Expendables just a little bit ago, and I know that they were, I guess their panel was a couple of days ago or so. I just wanted to take a little bit of time out. I'm sure you heard about this, but the story just broke here a couple hours ago. Sylvester's son, Sage Moonblood Stallone, who was 36, he was found dead in his Hollywood home. Not sure if you heard about that, but considering Sylvester Stallone was at Comic-Con, you know, I don't know, I know he's probably en route back home, or he's probably already back home, but, you know, I just wanted to definitely put that out there. Sylvester Stallone's son was found dead today, a couple hours ago.
Wow.
Home. So, yeah, he was 36 years old. So
he was here last night. He's home by now. Wow, that's devastating.
Right. Yeah, it really is. So I just actually just tweeted some stuff out a little bit ago in regards to just us giving out our condolences to the Stallone's family, and I know they're definitely needing all of that right now. So
definitely. Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, it is. It is. But so I just have to say that really quick. But definitely, okay. So what's next? I mean, where are we going with this right now?
Well, as I was talking about this, convention's grown tons and tons and tons, so much so that Morgan Spurlock, he's the guy that did the documentary Super Size Me about, you know, the McDonald's food killing us and all that. Well, he likes doing stuff about, you know, the culture of America, and he wanted to delve deep into Comic-Con, and he met up with Stan Lee at a Comic-Con 1 year, and Stan Lee joked with him, hey, we should, you know, do this together. So, you know, do a documentary about this, and he did. I sent back a few clips there from his press conference that he had at the On Demand Lounge. They were nice enough to let us use their space to interview these people, so I want to give them a little bit of a shout-out, On Demand. They have a lot of good movies coming on, and we'll be covering some of their movies on my show in the future. So
we'll go ahead and we can actually, I think we have that in cube ready to play. And you want to go ahead and intro it really quick again?
Yeah, this is Morgan Spurlock talking. He's basically telling us the thesis of his documentary that's called Comic-Con Episode 4, A Fan's Hope, of course, taking a take off on the Star Wars movies.
Okay, all right, check it out, y'all.
Hi, this is Greg Reifstick, the Movie Maniac, reporting to you live from San Diego Comic-Con 2012. I am at the Hard Rock Hotel, about to enter a press conference with Morgan Spurlock, who has directed a documentary about the Comic-Con called Comic-Con Episode 4, A Fan's Hope. You're probably familiar with Morgan Spurlock from his work producing and directing the documentary Super Size Me. Let's go inside, shall we?
Morgan, every one of your films, you have a thesis statement, kind of a hypothesis going in. What were you going in with on this movie?
I mean, I think with this film, for me, I really wanted to kind of tell an honest portrayal of what Comic-Con is, tell the true story of what Comic-Con is. Just kind of show this, people are smelly, they're geeky, they don't have friends. Like, that's the low-hanging fruit that I feel like we get all the time. And I think there is a much richer and more complex story. The idea of this place is like geek job fair, I had no idea about. The fact that the portfolio reviews happen and people actually break into the business by coming and showing their stuff. People from, middle of nowhere America coming and showing their portfolio. That's incredible. The people who are competing from all over the world in the masquerade, who are making these incredible costumes, with the hopes that someone will see what they do, and they'll use that as a stepping stone to get into, Hollywood costume design, movie filming, or movie costume design. I mean, I think both those sides are things I never knew about, and a lot of people who've seen the film have no clue that that's even here, so I think that's, for me, it was kind of to have some more revelatory moments for viewers. Every time you would turn on the news, any type of media coverage or whatever come out of Comic-Con, it's always about, famous celebrity coming to promote film, and look at these freaks in costumes. Like, those are the only two stories you get. And when I was here in 2009 doing the Simpsons 20th anniversary special for Fox, I said there's a much deeper story to tell about Comic-Con. And I met Stan that night at a party, and I met Joss Whedon the next day, and they came on to produce the film with us, and it's fantastic. Like, I think what the film does is shatter so many stereotypes about what Comic-Con is about. And it is. Comic-Con is a celebration of all these geeky things that that we all do, that we're all passionate about.
Okay.
Yeah, believe me, Carla. He's talking about they're called cosplayers, the people
right.
that dress up in costume and they compete on Saturday night in this big show that lasts for like 2-3 hours. All I've seen is people like that here. It's been amazing. I've seen everybody from Chewbacca to anime characters to, SpongeBob SquarePants. It's just crazy stuff.
I know. I've seen some of the pictures and stuff, and I actually saw that full press conference. I want to say it was on the MTV News site earlier today, so it was definitely very interesting. I'll definitely want to add, people interested in this film can go to www.comicconmovie.com. www.comicconmovie.com. Yes, sir. Yeah, so Greg, okay, so I know that, I guess from there, you were at one of just the best press conferences ever. I know I'm kind of partial to Disney as well as you, I'm sure. Tell us, how did that go?
It went great. I mean, they trotted out a lot of big films. They after John Carter from Mars kind of fizzled last year, and they changed their leadership over there, they now have a really good slate of films. They brought out Tim Burton and the stars of the Frankenweenie movie. They brought out Oz.
Did you see that movie?
No, we haven't gotten to see it yet. They showed us clips.
Okay.
And they showed us trailers. They teased us, Carla. But I hate to be teased. And they teased us. It was horrible.
Mm. Wow. Well, tell us about it. Okay, so it was a Disney. There was the Frankenweenie, and it was supposed to be the film is the first ever Disney black and white stop motion animated film directed by Tim Burton, right?
Yeah. I mean, Don Hahn, who is an animator at Disney for a long time, he had never done stop motion animation either, and Tim Burton basically came to him and said, "Hey, I want to do like I did with Nightmare Before Christmas, but do it in black and white and redo my old movie called Frankenweenie that I did back in the day." And it's like, Don's like, yeah, let's do it at Disney. Let's bring you back home to where you did it. So,
you know,
I
think that was genius. I really think this is going to be really, really big.
Yeah, yeah. I have some clips there you might want to play that where Tim Burton, he's going to say it better than I can. So
okay,
the clips and see what the genius filmmaker Tim Burton has to
say. All right,
so
check it out, y'all. These are clips from the Frank and Winnie, I guess, press conference. Tim Burton, check it out.
Hi, Tim. I love your work, and I wanted to know, there seems like there's an emotional connection to you and to your films, and it seems like you bring back a dog of yours in almost every one of your children's films. Can you give me a little background about that? Is that true?
Well, I think, it's when you're young, you know, it's the first kind of pure relationship you have. If you're lucky enough to have a pet that you love, you know, and it's something that's like connects right to your heart. And I think that's the thing. And I was lucky enough to have the special pet that you know, I had that kind of relationship with. So, you know, the whole sort of Frankenstein element is kind of wish fulfillment in that kind of way. Because I always found those movies like Frankenstein quite emotional. So it was a good, it seemed like a fairly natural connection to combine the two.
Okay, all right. Now, I really didn't hear her question exactly. What did she say?
She's talking about, the movie is about Frank and Weenie because it's his dog, his little wiener dog. And he in real life, Tim Burton's dog died. So
right,
every kid's
right.
dream is to bring his dog back. Now he's done a lot of. He always has a dog in every one of his movies. So she was basically asking him, "You revisit this in each one of your films, and why?" And he kind of gave us the lowdown on that.
Okay, so we'll go to the clip two. Check it out. Hold tight.
Well, I mean, it was a real pleasure to do it black and white, and that was part of the reason wanting to do it. I mean, any stop motion film is intricate. I mean, this. You know, we had a slightly smaller crew on this than we usually do because we wanted to kind of show the stop motion roots. I when we did Corpse Bride, the puppets were so good, a lot of people thought it was like computer animation. So we just sort of went back and did it a little bit more low tech and so that you felt the stop motion. But yeah, I mean, when you see the stuff and you see the details and you see everything, I mean, it's beautiful. It's like its own art form. So, and also the black and white draws out textures more. It's interesting. That's why it's made the film a bit more emotional. It makes you feel like you're there. It does a strange thing, which is hard to put into words, but it definitely affects, you know, the way you watch it.
How do you feel about the current status of your
movie? Well, I mean, I recall back to when we were doing that and how worried they were all that it was too dark, and now it looks like a lighthearted romp, you know. Batman on ice, you know what I mean? It's interesting because it was such kind of a struggle to kind of get that at the time, but. Yeah.
Okay, so that was clip three. And Greg, if you can briefly just go into it, because I didn't hear the question for the third clip.
Oh, yeah. I was going to set it up, but Tim Burton, of course, did the two Batman films in the 80s, Batman and Batman Returns, and a guy just, asked him, hey, you know, we have the new Batman movies that Christopher Nolan does, which I'm going to talk about on my movie show. Because it's the weekend it comes out, and just asking him, hey, what do you think of the superhero movies now? You kind of were at the beginning of all of this when they started doing all of these comic book characters back in the 80s, and his response was pretty funny, the fact that they thought his stuff was dark, but now we watch stuff with, you know, that had the late Heath Ledger in it. I know that was one of your favorite films.
Yeah, definitely. One of mine, too.
I know you got a kick out of him, and I mean, the Christopher Nolan films are just an entirely different world, and I'll be definitely going into that on my show coming up that you already were talking about on July 22nd.
Your show. When is your show, and where is that going to be featured? What's going on?
My show, the Movie Maniac Show, is going to be July 22nd, Sunday at 7 p.m. at the same time as you're listening tonight, and we're going to have more Comic-Con clips, more Tim Burton, more.
Oh, so you're teasing my listeners. You're just going to tease my listeners and give us a little bit of Comic-Con.
I need to have something for mine, or they're not going to listen. They're going to hear the same thing and go, I don't need to tune in.
My listeners need to hear it, too. I'm promoting you on my show, Mr. Movie Maniac. We want it all.
My clips are going to be just as good as your clips, and your clips are just as good as the clips I have.
That's great.
Press conferences were so long. I mean, they were a half hour long. They were just so wonderful to hear these filmmakers talk.
Yeah, next year, definitely. We're going to have the whole crew there, like seven of us or more, because there are so many things. And I know you, Greg, you're out there doing the darn thing for ELTM, and you're hitting all these different ones, just yourself. There's just one media host for ELTM in San Diego, and he's hitting everything. I just don't understand it. But he's a movie maniac, so he could do it. If anybody could do it, he can. So,
what's our group costume going to be?
I know, right? I don't know. We'll figure
it out. You
better
start planning that, Carla.
I know. I'm going to let you just, you know, carry the helms on that, because you're the bomb diggity with it, okay? So our time is, I know you got a lot to do. You still have a lot to do, and I still want to talk about some of my fantasy. We're going to talk about the film Oz. So we can go into that. You can go ahead and launch that, and we'll get into the clips for the Oz, the great and powerful Oz.
So we're going to...
go ahead.
Sam Raimi was nice enough to come down, and he was nice enough to bring his two lovely co-stars, Mila Kunis, who plays Theodora. This is the prequel of The Wizard of Oz. So you have Mila Kunis playing Theodora, the bad witch, and you have Michelle Williams playing Good Witch Glinda. And we're going to find out.
Greg, before you even go there, okay, because I love both of these actresses. I love Mila Kunis, and of course I love Michelle Williams to death, even more than I loved, her baby daddy or her, you know, Heath Ledger. But oh my God, that's just crazy. I'm just like, you were there, and they were there, and my two favorite people. I know you were falling out too, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, they're beautiful. They're really, really beautiful. When they cast the film, I said, how can you put two beautiful women in the same movie? I mean, at least one's a blonde and a brunette, so you know, have one of each. But
right.
I mean,
you know how much
guys,
you love blondes, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this movie's for the ladies, because you have James Franco in it, who didn't show up. I believe he was busy, but they I have a few quotes from him that I sent on the blog. But it was really nice of them to come down. And, I mean, the movie is about, it has James Franco, he plays Oscar Diggs, who, of course, Oscar becomes Oz, the great Oz. And it turns out he was, according to the book that was put out in 1900 Baum was the, L. Frank Baum, that was the author's name. Basically, he portrayed this guy, him as a small-time circus magician, and he had dubious ethics. And all of a sudden, he's hurtled from the world of Kansas, from Kansas into the world of Oz. That story sounds a little familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
yeah. We know a little girl named Dorothy that did that too. So this was this is like, we're gonna find out why Oz got there and all that. So the first clip you have there is Sam Raimi telling us about what shooting this film meant to him. If you wouldn't mind playing that.
Okay, yeah, we'll play that now. I love Sam Raimi. Check it out.
So this is a very straightforward family picture. I would say it's a very classically Disney type of movie. And it really is all about these characters and their interactions with each other, the friendships they make, how some characters are sinners, how they hurt others, how those sins can grow. And it's about finally recognizing the things you do in this world have consequences and how to be the best person you can be is really the story of the film. It's about recognizing those mistakes we've made and moving on past them and growing into something better than you were when you started out. That's the most exciting type of stories for me, is the ones with some amount of little bit of character growth. And I think James Franco's character has a little bit of growth in the story.
Okay. That was what's up. You want me to go right into clip two, or you want to set that up?
Actually, I got to tell you, I'm sitting here in front of the lovely Hilton Bayfront Hotel here in San Diego, and
okay.
Iron Man just decided to walk by and grace us with his presence. Not Robert Downey Jr., but a guy dressed as Iron Man.
Okay.
That's what's going on here.
Gotta love it, right? You're right in the heart of it all.
It's
another reason to hate you. Another reason to hate you.
People run up, take his picture. I mean, that's the action you get down here.
I saw I actually saw some Facebook pics of you with just right in front of the whole Iron Man thing on your Movie Maniac Facebook page. Yeah, that was really nice. I loved it.
Yeah, Marvel brought down. They have a display right in the middle of the dealer's room, the big dealer's room that is about the size of a football field. And they have all the different Iron Mans like that we saw in the first film and then the second film. There's like 6 or 7 or 8 of them, and they let you pose in front of them. It's really fun. I mean, everybody has their own journey down here, Carla. You can't do everything. I know you think I'm down here doing everything, but you can't do everything. It's so intense and large and huge. Speaking of large and huge, the Oz movie, as he was talking about, the next clip is him talking about you, I, everybody. We're going to be like, okay, we've seen The Wizard of Oz. Everybody's going to compare it to the original. It's a classic. So they're going to talk about this movie being compared to that one and how they think this is the comparison. People are going to be impressed by this nonetheless.
Okay. All right. Check it out, y'all. Courtesy of Greg Rastek.
Well, we all love the Wizard of Oz movie ourselves, and we were very careful not to tread on it, or we were careful to respect it. But really, it's a different story. It's the story of, at least up to the Wizard of Oz. It's a story of how the wizard came from Kansas to the land of Oz, and how a slightly selfish man became slightly more selfless. And it's a story of how he became the wizard. It's a fantastic story that answers that question, Jason, if you had that question. But it's not really remaking The Wizard of Oz, so it wasn't a problem that we had to deal with. We just nodded lovingly toward it and went ahead telling our own story. Our producer, Joe Rock, was a great agent. He has a lot of experience in creating fantastic worlds. He did the great Tim Burton picture, Alice. And he and our production designer, Robert Stromberg, together really created an original vision of what Baum's work could be on the big screen. Often, you know, I wish we could have used the Emerald City from the original Wizard of Oz. We didn't have legally the right to do that, or use the Ruby of Red Slippers, or a lot of other iconic elements from the 1939 film, but that was okay in the end, because we really were trying to tell our own story, an original story, nodding lovingly toward the Wizard of Oz.
Okay, and I actually listened to that entire interview. That was really good. That was awesome. So you were there for that as well, Greg? So how was seeing one of your most favorite people ever?
I love Sam Raimi. I've loved him since the Evil Dead movies, when he was just doing horror movies. And I mean, I'll have other clips where he's talking about the fact that people kind of have doubted that he could do a movie of this size, because he's used to doing all these little horror films with all their little effects and, you know, trying to squeeze special effects out of a dime. But, I mean, the producer of this film, Joe Roth, was there, and this film has a huge budget. It's allegedly a $250 million movie, Carla.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the salary of at least 5 NFL players, right?
Yeah, that's their salary 3 times over too, right?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, they built these. They talked about Joe Roth talked about they built these huge sets that were the size of, they were bigger than the size of regular Hollywood studios. They built them out in the middle of Detroit, of all places, where Sam Raimi's from, because he wanted to bring, you know, business to his hometown. And the actresses were talking about, they walked around these sets and it was like they were actually in the Emerald City. They were actually on in Oz, and it was just amazing.
Right, right. Okay, so set us up for the third clip with your buddy, your old buddy, old pal, Sam Raimi.
Well, actually, this, so we're going to play the Raimi clip. We're going
to
say,
well, no, I mean, whatever you want to do. We don't have to necessarily do it. I'm sorry. I thought
well,
we
let's,
wanted
well,
to.
Well, let's go to the ladies. You've been talking up your two ladies. Let's, both
okay.
of them are going to talk about here.
Okay.
How their characters are, you know, from the original Oz books, and they were asked what they drew on, you know, to not compete with these characters from the old book, and what they kind of brought to the table in their own way in playing the Good Witch and the Bad Witch of Oz.
Okay. Cool beans. This is Mila Kunis and Michelle Williams and Oz. Hold tight. Check it out.
One of the first films I ever saw in the States in 1991 was The Wizard of Oz. It was probably the first movie as a kid that I truly gravitated towards and loved so much so that my parents, in the process of me learning English, decided to get me The Return to Oz, that book, as my very first book to read in English, as like a first real book. Not as a picture book, but like a real book. So I do have a weird connection to the original Wizard of Oz, including the original book. That was the first book that I read.
I mean, before I read, you know, my association with the movie is probably like everyone in this room's association with the movie. You see it over and over again when you're a kid, and so to think that for this moment in time, your life is intersecting with, that you get to walk in the footsteps of this very beloved character, it feels like a real honor. And then to get to know the world and the language and the characters more deeply after you read the books. You know, there's a lot in the books that are used in this movie, but there's also, you know, a screenwriter's imagination at work. But I did read them very carefully and with a highlighter and underlining things about, you know, Glinda and sort of turns of phrases that she might use or how she would wear her hair. So I found them very useful.
Don't they sound
Mila
awesome?
Kunis. Yeah, they do.
The first one was Mila Kunis. The second one after the gap there was Michelle Williams.
Yeah. I actually saw the whole interview today as well. A little bit after you sent the clips, and there was some really, really great interviews. I cannot wait for us to be able to, you know, get some live, you know, the full streaming visual coverage up. You know, we'll definitely have that for next year.
Definitely. I mean, the great thing about this was I was in a private press conference with the press. The public
right.
asked a whole different bunch of questions, saw a whole different show. They showed them, they didn't even show this to the press. We're sitting there interviewing all these people, Carla, and they showed a clip from The Lone Ranger.
Alrighty.
With Johnny Depp.
Gotta love him, right? Yeah.
they just showed this clip out of nowhere, and we heard about this, and so the public got to see something that the press didn't for once. So if you come down here, you wait in the 3-hour line, you're not going to get gypped, that's for sure.
Right. Well, that's a good thing. You know, thank you so much for that. I want to take a really quick break, and then we'll get back into this Comic-Con stuff with Greg Rustek. Greg, hopefully you can stay. We got about maybe 10, 15 more minutes with you, or a little bit less. We'll be right back, y'all. We'll take a commercial break, or we'll come right back. Hold it tight, y'all. It's Friday. Don't go nowhere. I know you want your drinks. Coming soon.
Hey, Luella.
Yeah, what is it?
Who that came up on your phone on the other day and that way talking you to somebody call.
He ain't some child at you on TM and Carla. Lord, what is Lord?
Well, I know I saw something on there. I know it was, I ain't know if you trying to cheat or something. You ain't trying to cheat.
Cheat, child, you can't even see something. That's a
what you
saw on there. EOTM Radio. That's a, in a PR company, child. What is, I don't know what you talking about. Get on my face.
EOTMblog.com. Go check out the site. Get branded. Ask for Carla at 909-559-1763. Get your business to the streets.
Movie geeks are cool. Movie buffs are hot. But movie maniacs, we're sexy. That's right. I, Greg Reifstek, the movie maniac, host of EOTM Radio's new movie show, I'm putting the sexy back into loving movies. We're not just going to review the movies on the Movie Maniac Show. We're going to go behind the scenes and talk to the people that make the movies. We're going to talk to you about why you're obsessed with the movies you're obsessed with. You can catch my new show live at EOTMradio.com every Sunday night from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, starting July 22nd. Follow me on Twitter at Movie Maniac EOTM. Find me on Facebook at EOTM Movie Maniac. And of course, catch my posts on the EOTMblog.com.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the E-Buzz Show. This is your girl, Carla B. I have our EOTM Movie Maniac, EOTM media host Greg Reifstek is live in San Diego, California for the Comic-Con 2012. And I must say right now, y'all, definitely check out the amazing Comic-Con coverage by Greg Reifstek on our official blog site, www.eotmblog.com. He has, oh my God, amazing writer, number one. I'm not just saying that because he writes for us. He's just a great guy, and of course he has a new show that's coming up in a couple weeks and that he's just doing so much stuff for. So I know he's excited about that too, and I just wanted to say that. Welcome back, Greg.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me today and let me share all of this. You know, we were talking earlier about you're jealous of me seeing your two Twilight stars.
Yes.
You know, Kristen Stewart blew me a kiss. You know that.
I don't care. You know, I mean, did she bite you? Are you a vampire now?
I think she did. You know, there's enough vampires and zombies down here that I think if I turned into a zombie, you wouldn't know the difference. They have this, I have to touch on this a minute, they have this insane experience down here called the Walking Dead experience, you know, the AMC show Walking Dead.
Yes.
And you pay $80 to run a half-hour obstacle course where you have zombies chasing you.
Oh, my God, I love it. Did you pay? Did she do it yet?
No, I haven't had time. I've been covering stuff for
you. Greg! Oh, my God. I have to do that when I come. You know I'm just so into just the weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there. I'm just totally there.
I saw the people lined up. I saw the people lined up, and you pay $20 to play a zombie to be in the obstacle course. So which one would you be? Would you want to be the hunted or the hunter?
I would pay $80 to be the hunted and then $80 for the hunter and $20 for the hunted. Is that I want to experience both. I'm just sorry. I'm just like that. You know, you only live once. You know, I'm just ready to jump off a cliff. I don't care. I want to be a vampire. There's nothing about being chased by zombies. Stop it.
Well,
maybe
I have a vampire experience for you here next year when we should all dress up as vampires next year.
I'm down with it. It's going to happen, Greg. We're going to make it happen, Captain, mm-hmm. and all that good stuff. But anyway, I know our time is dwindling and all that good stuff. You got so many other things that you want to do. I hate you again. All right. So what we got next, Greg?
well, we have one. We just have that one last clip. Kind of a teaser clip where they asked Sam Raimi, we were talking before the break, if you're just tuning in, about Oz the Great and Powerful, the epic prequel to Wizard of Oz that Disney is putting out later this year. And Sam Raimi, who did the Evil Dead movies, he's directing this. And you saw The Wiz, right? Right, Carl?
Right, yeah.
They had flying monkeys in that, right?
Right.
They had flying monkeys in The Wiz. They had the flying monkeys in The Wizard of Oz. So somebody asked Sam, are there going to be flying monkeys in Oz, the Great and Powerful? Let's find out.
All right, and this is the clip. Which clip is this?
This is the Raimi clip number 3.
Okay, all right, because I've already had three glasses of vampire rum. So we're getting things a little bit mixed up here, but hopefully this is the one. Let me know if it's not, Greg. Oh, sorry.
Yes, in the teaser that they showed today, the Wicked Witch has an army of flying baboons. And we saw a glimpse of them today for our first animation that's completed on them. We're actually still developing them, but the teaser demanded that they come out right now, so this is the first glimpse of them. We tried to keep them a little darker than they would have otherwise. That she has, and she commands them to rule over all of us. And there's also a flying monkey in the story. Different than the baboons. A nice flying monkey, so don't worry.
Okay, was that the correct clip? It sounded like it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. And so what's up? Okay, cool. So that was the spoiler. He was revealing the spoiler, right?
Mm-hmm. Basically, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
everybody was revealing spoilers down here.
Yeah.
So what else you want to know about?
What else you want to know about
the Comic-Con?
What's next? So what's next? Okay, so you're there for another day. So what's on your agenda?
What's on my agenda? We're going to have tomorrow, I will be at 4 o'clock, be having exclusive coverage of the Marvel panel, which is going to have Iron Man 3. We're going to have Robert Downey Jr., rumored possibly to have Jon Favreau, and we're going to have the new director, Shane Black, who is taking over for Jon Favreau, who directed the first two, which I have a feeling that's why Jon Favreau is producing this one. I have a feeling he's not going to show up for this.
Right.
You get replaced. Why would you want to show up? But we're gonna get Robert Downey Jr. Live in the flesh, Iron Man up there.
Kiss him for me, okay?
Kiss him for you, okay? Not on the lips.
Right. Whatever, just get it in there for me. That's all I'm asking.
I yell out, Carla B is throwing you a kiss. How about that? I'll yell it out,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. That's what's up. So, Greg, go ahead and dish out your, I know I think I've been tweeting it and stuff, but give our listeners your Twitter page, and I know that you're doing a lot of things with your Facebook page and all that good stuff so they can follow you.
You're, of course, catching me on EOTMradio.com. The first show is going to be July 22nd, Sunday night, 5 p.m.
Woo-hoo!
Pacific, 7 o'clock Central, 8 p.m. if you're on the East Coast. You can follow me on Twitter at MovieManiac, EOTM, and you can find me on Facebook by just typing in Greg Reifstick, Movie Maniac, and I'm the only one out there on Facebook, so you're going to find me that way.
Yeah, so beautiful to be the only one. Oh, my God. Greg, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're doing so many things, and you just saw what great stuff you're doing. It's so much fun. Thank you for getting working on your Friday.
I'm going to find me a studio party. I'm getting my drink
on. Go do it. Get it on and tweet some pics and all that good stuff. Keep doing your thing, Greg. Make sure when you are doing your Twitters, put hashtag EOTMSDCC in there, okay, so make sure we can be able to find you, and also do hashtag EOTM Radio. And again, thanks so much for joining us, Greg. You go ahead and enjoy yourself and get the parties in now.
You got
okay,
it. Thanks
so
for
much.
Having me on your show, Carla B.
Of course. Talk to you soon. That's what's up, Greg in San Diego, doing it big. I hate him so much right now. All right, so let me digress a little bit, put on a little bit of music, pump up some kicks or something. Check it out. Hold tight. We'll be back.
Zimmerman confessed to the shooting, claiming self-defense. Martin's family says he was murdered.
Two young boys are arraigned in the brutal beating of a 94-year-old man.
11 and 15 years old were arrested earlier this week.
School officials knew teachers were abusing Aaron, but didn't stop it.
Obviously don't care about the special needs kids and their condition.
They knew everything. They knew both incidents, and they did nothing about it.
According to the district's own investigation, Aaron was first abused by Melanie Pickens at Hopewell Middle School in 2007. As CBS Atlanta first reported last year, school officials covered up the abuse of at least six students.
Join Carla Simpson of EOTM Radio and Gerald Rose of New Order Human Rights Organization. Tune in July 24th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let's talk about correcting the system of injustice. Don't just listen. Do something. Call in 718-664-6543. Tune in on EOTMradio.com. That's July 24th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let's stop this mess in the U.S.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is your girl, Carla B. Thanks for tuning in with me, giving me a portion of your Friday night. Checking out all things Comic-Con right here on EOTMRadio.com. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at EOTMPR and follow our movie maniac, Greg Rystek, at Movie Maniac EOTM on Twitter. Make sure you check him out. And, of course, as you just heard that last commercial, make sure you will please do join me on July 24th for my new show, Correcting the System of Unequal Justice. Myself and Gerald E. Rose out of Atlanta will be hosting that show. And, of course, the Movie Maniac show is premiering right here on the EOTM Radio Network as well on July 22nd. So make sure for all things EOTM Radio, you want to visit the EOTM Radio page and subscribe to receive alerts just so you can just be on the same page. You don't miss out on anything because you don't want to. You're really not going to want to. Anyway, again, that's my time, y'all. Peace out. This is your girl, Carla B. Until next time, enjoy your Friday and see ya next week.
Hi, Greg Rystek, the movie maniac, host of EOTM Radio's new movie show. I'm putting the sexy back into loving movies. We're not just going to review the movies on the Movie Maniac show. We're going to go behind the scenes and talk to the people that make the movies. We're going to talk to you about why you're obsessed with the movies you're obsessed with. You can catch my new show live at EOTMRadio.com every Sunday night from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, starting July 22nd. Follow me on Twitter at Movie Maniac EOTM. Find me on Facebook at EOTM Movie Maniac. And of course, catch my posts on the EOTMblog.com.
Hey, it's always 5 o'clock somewhere.
Falling away! Quick to hell!
Injuries are tough enough when they're caused by one of your own.
Oh, look at Brad's head. More like Brad flipped out of the head. You know what I'm saying, Daddy?
Third down and 5.
That plays, bloopers, and sound bites inspire a top 10.
And the Lakers take a 1-point lead!
That's using your face.
Bedwetter.
Both so just incompetence.
Sports Center, not top 10.
EOTM.
entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping lives for a better tomorrow.